First Peter says, chapter 2, verse 5, ye also are lively stones, listen to this, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable, here it is, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are being edified as we go. Building up a spiritual house. That word edify, folks, amen. To be a house builder, construct, figuratively, confirm. It means to build, house builder, to construct. What are you constructing? Selfish desires? Anything you want to do? Or disciplining to say, I'm going to trust in Jesus, because he says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added. Matthew 6:22-23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? There is, folks, there's a saying in the world that computers, about computers, it says garbage in, garbage out. You ever heard it? Jesus, he's asked the disciples, he says, they had understanding in Matthew 15, verse 17, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. What are you feeding yourself? You see, it is the way of God's creation that you eat and drink, and sooner or later you have to go to the bathroom. That's what that scripture is talking about. This principle applies not only to what we bring into the mouth, but what we bring into the eyes, into the ears. In Matthew 15, 16 through 20, and Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. If you allow things in your eyes and in your ears that shouldn't be there, folks, it will eventually come out and it will become your taskmaster. And it will burden you down. It will ruin your witness and your walk with God. If you want to break the power of the taskmaster in your life, you have to start by cutting off what feeds it. Come on. What are you feeding? What are you feeding all the time? And you wonder why you can't break it. And unless you just are so dense and no light can penetrate your stratus, folks, you know what you're feeding. You know what is your taskmaster that you brought into your life. You know what it is. You see, it's enough that Satan seeks to bring a taskmaster into your life without creating your own taskmaster. You can't blame everything on the devil. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The only power the devil has over you is what you allow him. The Bible says nothing can touch you. But if you allow it, see, he's given us the power, the Holy Ghost. But the only thing the devil can do is what you allow him to do. And he will take every inch you give him. So we know Satan, he can bring it on you. He can put all kinds of taskmaster. But the crazy thing is we put it on ourselves. To battle this type of taskmaster, you must first battle yourself. If you want to break the power of the taskmaster that you invited into your life, folks, you have to go first, break yourself. Come on, we know what it is here. You know, you want to lose that weight? And it'll be coming soon. Everybody will be making that resolution. Come on, that faithful resolution that we're so good about keeping. Right? I'm going to go to the gym. I'm not going to eat this. And I'm not going to eat that. And that lasts until New Year's Eve is over. Maybe before. Maybe you break it. I don't know. Huh? Well, I try. Maybe next year. Sounds like our team's around here. Maybe next year. Huh? We know it good, don't we? I don't know about you, but I'm done with all of them. They can kneel all they want. I'm kneeling to God. Listen. You got to break the taskmaster. Now, it might be good to apply the AA principle here. They say that you cannot break the power of an alcoholism in your life unless you first admit you're an alcoholic. That's basically what we're talking about here today, folks. You got to break that in your life. I am not doing this anymore. That's it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to allow it to rule me. And I think that's right, folks. If you want to break the power of the taskmaster you invited into your life, you have to admit it, and you have to admit, I invited this. This is my fault. And we know that's hard. It's hard to admit you're wrong. So whether it was because of pornography, whether it was because of drug use, whether it's because of alcohol abuse, maybe it's a theft problem, maybe it's sexual immorality, maybe it's lying, or whatever sin you want to put there, folks, the taskmaster has power over you because you first sinned. And you will not break the power of the taskmaster until you repent of your sin and forsake it. So you got to find an altar and pray and fast until the power is broken in your life. So many want victory over sin, but won't forsake their sin, but want to continue to dabble in it. Amen. And it feels good to go, maybe you go to camp or you go to a conference or something and you feel that, and you feel that urge to do it. Amen. And then you do it for a little while and all of a sudden, wasn't that bad? You've got to break it yourself. You got to want that victory. Amen. You got to want that victory over sin and say, it is not ruling my life, because we so often we find ourselves, I want to do this for God, but I got this sin, and you feel the shame. Amen. And you feel it. I can't do anything. I got this chain here hanging on me. And you hear that? You hear that evangelist telling you, you can do great things for God. You hear the pastor telling you, let God use you. And you know you can only go so far because you got that hanging on you. Always dragging it. I can only do this. I can only go so far because I won't cut it off. And so often, maybe you've been down at that altar at camp or at a conference or during revival, whatever it is, and you cut it off, and you find yourself walking back to it later on, and you click it on. You got to want it gone. It's got to say, you got to say, I'm done with it. Find an altar and pray and fast until the power is broken in your life. You want the victory? You got to forsake it. See, you will never get victory over the power of the taskmaster you invited into your life without using these principles today. First, you have to repent and forsake the sin. Do not keep dabbling in it. Then you have to build a prayer life and come before God in prayer for help in being victorious. Amen. Then you have to begin to fast along with that prayer. It will give you the power you need to overcome. When you use these principles, you can break the power of the taskmaster that you invited into your life. Now you may ask the question, Pastor, how do I judge what is good for me and what is not good for me? Well, number one, whatever weakens your reasoning. Number two, whatever impairs your tenderness of your conscience. Number three, whatever obscures your vision of God. Number four, whatever takes away the appreciation of spiritual things. Whatever increases the authority of your body over your mind. Those are things you want to stay away from. You see, these things should be avoided. And the habit broken or partaking of discontinued. You see, it causes any of these five things in you. And I'll say them again. Whatever weakens your reasoning, whatever impairs your tenderness of your conscience, whatever obscures your vision of God, whatever takes away the appreciation of spiritual things, whatever increases the authority of your body over your mind. In other words, your body wants it, it lusts after it, it desires it, and your mind's saying, stay away from it, and you overrule the mind. That's what I'm talking about. These things you should be avoided, and you should break the habit. Quit partaking. The second type, taskmaster, is things that are sent by Satan. This is one responsible for burdens beyond our control. You see, the devil will motivate the boss on the job that makes your work life unbearable because of all the extra duties he assigned to you. I'm not talking about working hard and giving an employer their just due. I'm not talking about that. We should work hard. We should go out of our way to make the boss happy. I always told my boys, don't you ever stand around in a job when he gave you something to do and you finish it. Don't you ever stand around and wait for him to come. You go find him. That's the kind I'm talking about. I'm talking about working hard. Don't just ever stand around. But what I'm talking is he's putting things on you that are unbearable, unreasonable. The devil will do that to you. So I'm talking about unreasonable demands that are above and beyond the call of duty that affect your walk with God and your family relationships and your church attendance. You see, the enemy curses your home and he causes burdens of calamity to come upon you and your family. See, what are you talking about, Pastor? 1 Samuel chapter 30, 1 through 7. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive. That's beyond David's control, folks. They took the women captive and therein they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were all taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Eniam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. David just didn't stand there and take it. Not only did they take his family, but the other men said, we're going to stone him. This is his fault. It wasn't David's fault. It was beyond his control. Folks, there's things that come in your life sometimes beyond your control. But you don't have to stand there and take it. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Ibthar brought thither the ephod to David. This was beyond David's control. He didn't bring it upon himself. It was an attack of the enemy. But David had learned a principle. Some call it the principle of unloading. He did not carry the burden himself. He didn't have a nervous breakdown. He didn't get into a drunk and think about it tomorrow. He didn't take some kind of drugs so he could calm down and deal with things. Instead, he called Abiathar and he told him, bring me the ephod because I'm going to worship the Lord. Amen. I'm going to seek God. Instead, he called and said, give me the ephod. You see, this principle, folks, of unloading can break the power of the taskmaster in your life. Why do we think we got to hold it all in when we got a body of Christ that'll pray with us and say, let me pray for you. I mean, I want to be there for you. David took it to the Lord. You see, if you don't learn to unload, you will overload. David called for an ephod, which was a prayer shawl. He took the time out for a prayer meeting because he had to unload and get a word from God. Everything was stacked against David. The sounds of discontentment and anger and despair filled the air around him. But while the sounds of discontentment and anger and despair filled the air around David, he put on the prayer shawl and encouraged himself in the Lord. And he prayed until he got direction from God. Too often, we panic when we ought to pray. And we faint when we ought to have faith. Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. It is not time to faint, folks. It is not time to lose heart. When the attack of the enemy, amen, of the difficulties in life come into us, it is not time to faint. It is time to pray and say, God, I know who is in control. I don't care what's going on in this world today. You are in control. It's time to pray, not faint. Do not give in. See, folks, we need to understand that the Lord is able, in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Listen to this. Here it is. According to the power that worketh in us. You going to let the power of God work in you, or are you going to cower? Listen. God's got it right there. He knows what came against David. David could have cowered. You didn't see God reach over and pick him up. Come on. No, he waited on David to do what he needed to do. It was up to David. If David was going to get the victory, he had to let the power of God work in him. He had to get a hold of the right tools. See, he didn't have the spirit like we had. Okay, we got the Spirit right now in us. But David had to get the right tools to enable him to have the courage that he needed to do what he needed to do. He would have never went after them, folks, if he wouldn't have called for the ephod. The Lord said, go get them. When he inquired of the Lord, he said, should I go? And he says, go. But if he would not have got a hold of his God, he might have been stoned. You see, too often we cower when God says, why don't you just pray to me? Too often we get down in the boohoo and have a pity party for ourselves when we should be saying, all right, God, you are the great. You are awesome. God, give me you see, I need encouragement right now. God, I feel bad. I don't feel good. I don't like this feeling. But God, you're able. God, give me strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. You will not have joy if you can't muster up enough courage in you when you feel rotten, when everything has come against you, when life has beat you raw. You will not have the joy to have strength to go on if you can't muster up the courage to get on your knees and say, God, right now I'm miserable. God, I need you. Now if I get back up. Let me tell you something. There were three Hebrew boys who were thrown into the fire. You think they didn't have to muster up some courage? You listen here, King. We're not going to bow to your pressure because our God will take care of us. He'll deliver us. But if he does not, we still will not bow. Come on, folks. Come on. How do you have that kind of courage in you? Devil, you give it your best shot. Amen. God will deliver me. But if he doesn't, I'm not bowing to your pressure. Come on. We got to have the courage to do what is right. And it is according to the power that worketh in us. Satan has no power to harm you. I want you to hear that today, folks. He has no power to harm you in and of himself. That power that works in you, you can either cower and allow the enemy to work in you, to do what he wants. That's giving him the power that I'm talking about. He has no power over you unless you cower. But the power that worketh in us, the scripture said, we can stand up and say, give it your best shot, buddy. You see, he gets the power from you when it is released to him. Let me tell you something, folks. This is no hocus pocus stuff. This is real. The spiritual world is real. And there's good and there's bad. But we know we have the power. That's why it's so important to have the Spirit. Because the Bible says if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. I want to be His. Because with Him, I can do all things. Through who? Through Christ, who strengthens me. And you say, Pastor, what happens when life shows up and God doesn't? Show God what you're made of. Job thought for a long time God didn't show up. Hey, did the three Hebrew boys get thrown into the furnace or did they not? Let me tell you something. You know when God shows up? Just in time. Just in time, brother. Just in time. That's when God shows up. You know, we're like, we wanted him here yesterday. God, where you at? You got bill collectors breathing down my neck. The power that worketh in me. Come on. Do you have that power today? You need that power today. It needs to work in you. Amen. We need God, folks. And it seems like, where's God at? It seems like we're feeling in the dark sometimes. Oh, stub my toe. God shows up just in time. See, Job says on Job 23, verse 9, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see him. See, Job was going through it all, folks. He lost everything. I mean everything. Wealthy man. Large family, wife. He didn't lose her. He lost everything. Where are you at, God? On the left. I don't feel him. I don't see him on the right hand. But see, the power to know his God, he was able to stand. And we know the story. God blessed him with even more than he had before. I can't tell you what to do. I just say, don't faint.
You need to apply the scripture to your life.
Amen. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He careth for you. We need to learn, folks, to upload. Amen. And you can break the power of the taskmaster in your life. The power of the taskmaster comes when we are in debt. The power of the taskmaster comes when we are fearful. The power of the taskmaster comes when we're dealing with loneliness. The power of the taskmaster comes when we're dealing with anger. The power of the taskmaster comes when there's tiredness and we need rest. And you can go on and on and on. You can add whatever you want to that, folks. But the power of the taskmaster comes when you can learn to upload. Your burdens become lighter. The Bible says, cast all of your cares on him, for he cares for you. See, because you know God is in control, that's what brings you to peace in your life, folks. When you know God, that's why it's important to get into the Word and know him and know who he is and that he cares for you. And then when the Word of God tells you God cares for you, you got to believe it. And you got to trust it. You know he's real. When you learn to unload and give it to him, he's in control. God, I know you're in control. I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't care what kind of riots are going on. I don't care what kind of sickness is going on over. God, you're in control. And he's going to help you through these situations. And you can't, folks, you can get out of the lowlands and you begin going up to the high places. In Psalms 18, verse 33, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon the high places. You see, begin going up to the high places and break the power of the taskmaster in your life. When these things come against you and it seems unbearable and it seems like you can't stand it. Amen, folks. Get a hold of your God. Start praising him and worshiping him. I don't feel like it. Do it anyways. Jesus came to set the captives free. To undo the heavy burdens, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, folks, and to break every yoke. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I give unto you, listen to this, I give unto you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, amen, nothing shall by any means hurt you. John 17, 18, and thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. Listen, folks, God has a lot of promises for us, but all of his promises are predicated if you will do what he asks you. Here, this scripture here says, as thou hast sent me into the world, I'm sending them. Okay? You might have your problems and you're calling on God. You don't seem like he's there. Are you going where God sent you? Are you doing where God told you to go? Are you talking to the people God's telling you to talk to? Are you going to church like God told you? Come on, I'm telling you, are you doing? If you'll do these things. John 14, 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Amen. Mark 16, 17 and 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is a very specific group of people. It's the group called the believers. Amen? You see, folks, it's not only just the apostles, it's not only just the prophets, it's not only just the pastors, it's not only just the teachers and the evangelists, but the believers. You, me, everybody. Every single person who is called upon the name of Jesus, somebody is in slavery right now, folks. I'm telling you, somebody right now is in bondage, in captivity, under the oppression of the devil, and they can't get free. Listen to me. And you know what they need? They need an apostolic that has broken free from the power of the taskmaster in your life. That somebody I'm talking about, maybe somebody in your family. They need you to break free from the taskmaster so that you can be a help to them, so that you can be a blessing to them. It may be somebody on your job. They are oppressed. They got the taskmasters, the ones they brought in and the ones the devil brought in. They need some apostolic to walk in there Monday morning and say, in the name of Jesus, I will help you. I'll be a blessing to your life. God has done it for me. He'll do it for you. It may be somebody in your neighborhood that lives next to you, up and down your street somewhere. They need an apostolic to drive down that street and call out on each house and say, in the name of Jesus, I want to be a blessing to them. I want to be a help to them. They need an apostolic who's been delivered. It may be somebody at the gas station where you go. It may be somebody at the store where you buy your groceries. But they need an apostolic that has been set free. Somebody that believes. Folks, all around you are people in captivity. And they are waiting on their freed and powerful apostolic to come and bring them out. You say, Jesus is the deliverer. He's the one who sets the free captives free. But let me tell you something. Jesus is in you. Yeah, he does it, but he's in you. We are his hands and his feet. Jesus is in you. You are his hands. You are his feet. You are his voice. He spent here 33 and a half years on this earth. Now we are the body. He has delivered you to be a deliverer. He has liberated you to be a liberator. Amen. He has healed you to be a healer. He has restored you to be a restorer. He has rescued you to be a rescuer. How many folks are ready to be his hands and feet? Let's stand here today. How many here today do you want to be a liberator in your family? How many here today want to be a liberator with your friends? How many here today want to be a liberator with your neighbors? How many here today want to be a liberator with employees in your job? How many are ready for God to use you to bring deliverance to the bound and to the oppressed? Come on. I'm asking you today to present yourself to God. When you come up here and present yourself to God, come and say, God, I want to be your hands. God, I want to be your feet. God, I want to be your voice. Is there any apostolics in this house today that want to be the body of Christ, to be used of him? If you come up here today and say, God, I've wanted to do something for you for so long, but this weight that I put there is always holding me back. Upon myself, and I'm asking you to forgive me, and I'm asking you to give me freedom, because he is going to loose you. He will loose you. He will liberate you. He will restore you. He will heal you so that you can do what he has called you and anointed you to do. Come on, this altar's open. If you need the Holy Ghost today, God has a job for you to do. He wants to help you. Come on, is there anybody who wants to be liberated today? Come on, folks. Let's go up here and tell